Bowing to pressure from Congress, the Food and Drug Administration now says it will change the way it deals with pain medications and highly addictive narcotics. Health officials in some parts of the country have been critical of the FDA for being too slow to fight the abuse of painkillers and too quick to approve their use. The FDA says it will form a new committee to review any opioid medication that doesn't have built-in abuse deterrents. The agency will also require drug makers to pay for programs that educate doctors on the use of these medications. We've been covering the country's opioid crisis, and today we continue our look at how it's being felt in Vermont. Lynn McRae from Here and Now contributor Vermont Public Radio has this story about one woman's path to recovery.
Hi, I'm Skylar.
Skylar Browder is a student at Community College of Vermont in Winooski.
I love it here. It's awesome. It's been just what I need.
For Browder, the path to addiction began with alcohol in high school. Then she tried OxyContin, and when that became unavailable, she turned to heroin.
Even though I had a great upbringing, I had like parents that loved me, I was educated, you know, smart, totally athletic, played sports, all this stuff. I just couldn't, even though I had like glimmers of hope of like what my life might be like if I could stop using, I could never stop.
Browder says over the course of several years, she detoxed and relapsed numerous times and went to a 30-day inpatient treatment program. She was clean, she says, when she became pregnant, and then she relapsed again.
I'd heard somewhere that you're not supposed to detox off of opiates when you're pregnant, so I called the Chittenden Clinic, the methadone clinic, and I got on methadone.
After her son was born a year and a half ago, Browder says she weaned off methadone, and she stayed clean.
Hi!
Browder's life is now centered around her young son, who goes to daycare while she's in school.
Want to go home and see the doggies?
She says the key to her recovery is keeping it first and foremost in her life.
So I go to 5 support group meetings a week, and I have a bunch of sober women in my life that I can talk to. People that use drugs are not in my life anymore. You know, like they teach you in rehab, people, places, and things. You know, you always have to change people, places, and things. And like, I didn't really get that for a long time. And I think that's part of why I kept relapsing. Like, it's hard to let go of everything you knew.
Once more, inhaling the arms overhead.
Today at the Turning Point Center in Burlington, a yoga session is underway in a quiet room, while others mingle outside in a large open space with comfortable chairs and sofas.
Being able to go to a recovery center and have conversations with other people, going to a recovery center for a dinner, for yoga, for pool game, for ping pong. It's about finding a social environment that isn't a bar.
That's Mark Ames. He coordinates the Vermont Recovery Network, a system of 12 recovery centers spread out across the state that give recovering addicts a place to support each other. Ames says everyone's recovery is different, and many addicts use medication, methadone or buprenorphine, to help them stay off heroin.
One of the things that's been happening in the state of Vermont is that they're developing far more sophistication around how to look at people's lives and what would be appropriate.
Officials estimate that more than 5,000 Vermonters are now in medication-assisted treatment overseen by the state. That doesn't include how many people are getting treatment through private insurance. Mark Ames says much of the research shows that medication treatment works. But he also says there's a group of people out there who, like Skylar Browder, choose abstinence-based recovery.
One of the things that we've been aware of in the recovering community, just watching people that have been on medication-assisted treatment, is that many of them after time get tired of having to go regularly to a treatment program to get a drug. And they, you know, I want to be free of this all. And they move toward abstinence-based recovery.
Back in Winooski, Skylar Browder has made a quick stop at the grocery store before heading home.
So I decided I wanted sweet potato fries tonight, so I had to get some sweet potatoes.
Browder says an important aspect of her recovery is bouncing ideas off her sober peers, even on seemingly little things, like, say, whether to reach out to an old friend who's still using drugs.
Not even that I want to see them, but just to reach out and say, hey, are you okay? And running that by somebody first, because, you know, that can be a slippery slope, because now I have a home, right? Like, I have these things, and next thing you know, this person's staying on my couch. And that's a dangerous situation. You know, I can't put myself around people that are actively using.
For now, Skylar Browder is finding her way through recovery, and she says, living like a regular Vermonter.
You know, I go to school, I have a kid, I go grocery shopping, I come home at night. You know, I'm not like anybody special. I just happen to be a person in recovery, but I'm not any different from any other 25-year-old single mom who's just like trying to make a better life for themselves.
Browder's story shows that it can take many steps back before moving forward into recovery. For some, it may take only one try, while others go through dozens of detoxes and multiple treatments. The challenge, experts say, is for people to get to a place where they can take responsibility for their recovery and find enough support to keep them there. For Here and Now, I'm Lynn McRae in Colchester, Vermont.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Peter O'Dowd. Jeremy's back on Monday, broadcasting from New Hampshire Public Radio ahead of Tuesday's big election.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.